glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Monday, April 6, 2026. You're in for a treat, listening friend. This message was preached by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church yesterday, Resurrection Sunday, and a blessing awaits you. Also, tomorrow marks our 31st year of broadcasting on 102.5 FM WGNN, and you're going to hear some of the historic first ever broadcast as WGNN went on the air for the first time on Easter Sunday, April 7th, 1996. So be sure to tune in tomorrow at the same time. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson setting the stage for his message as we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Can you imagine what those 3 days were like in the process of you seeing Jesus who you put your whole hope in? You see Jesus who you sold all your things to follow. You see Jesus who you lost your family to follow. And you think He's going to grab a sword and conquer Rome. And instead of conquering Rome, instead of doing what you want Him to do, He does something completely different. Ever had your expectation of God not met and because of it your faith is challenged? Well, that's what happens to these folks. Jesus doesn't care about setting up an earthly kingdom in this moment. Jesus cares about setting up a heavenly one because He came for all the people, not just the Jewish people. Imagine that Saturday, that day between. A lot of you understand what it's like to experience death, and you're like thinking about what you're supposed to do next. And usually what you do and what I do is when we experience death, we pour ourselves into the details of accomplishing the next task because it's too hard to mourn what we just experienced. We get worried and stressed about things that really, in the grand scheme of life and death, are kind of what? Irrelevant. And that's what happens to these ladies when they wake up on an Easter morning, is they grab all the spices, they grab all the things because they want to tend to the grave. And as they're tending to the tomb and they go this direction, their concern is not their future. Their concern in this moment, the things they're worried about is what? A stone being rolled away. Ever in your life worried about something that you didn't have to worry about? The answer is yes. It's what most of us do all the time. Well, they walk up on this stone. As these ladies walk up on this stone, they see the stone rolled away. They see an angel by the front of the stone. And the angel's like, yo, that's Jason's translation. He's like, hey, guess what? He ain't here. Jesus of Nazareth, He's risen from the dead. Like, He's not here. He tells the ladies, go tell the disciples, go tell Peter that He's risen from the dead. And they're like, He's what? He's risen from the dead. And they're like, what is, like, their minds are just, why? Because death has been conquered. You guys, I think it's pretty cool that God desires the first person to preach an Easter message to be a female. That's cool. It's cool. It's also cool. Sorry, a little side historical note. Do you guys know that almost every convert, like first convert in Europe, first convert in Asia in the book of Acts were females? Why was God doing it? It's not because you ladies are better. But it is because of this. Historically speaking, in this time in history, where was women's position in this thing? They were constantly diminished in culture. And it's not that elevate, like Jesus elevating women isn't to be above men, but it's elevating women for men and women to be on this journey together. And so these ladies are the first one to preach the message, and they go back and tell the disciples, hey, y'all, guess what? He's risen from the dead. And they're like, uh-uh. They don't believe him. Imagine that, a man not believing a woman, telling him something like, shocking, I know. Never happens in my house, babe. Are you sure? Never said that. I've never said that. And so what do the fellas do? Well, they run towards the tomb. So Peter and John run towards the tomb. It tells us this in scripture. If you don't think trash talking's in the Bible, it is. Because John literally writes that Peter and I ran towards the tomb. And once I got there, I waited like 20 minutes for Peter to show up. Like, always picking on fat people. It's just what they do. And so So Peter eventually gets there, and Peter and John see the tomb is empty, and they realize in this moment that he's risen from the dead. And why does Peter run? Why does John run? Why does this teenager John run? Because he needed it to be true. Why does Peter run? Because the last time he looked at Jesus, imagine this, the apostle Peter, like the leader of the church, the reason why Peter had to run is because the last time he looked at Jesus, the last time Jesus looked at him, he said, "I don't know him." Said it three times. So he ran to that tomb because he needed Jesus to conquer death, because he needed to be forgiven. Been there? Man, I'm there all the time. And in this moment, something changes for Peter, something changes for John, something changes for Mary, something changes for James, something changes for this 150 to 500 people, the 500 people that see Jesus risen from the dead. This is what changes. They go from being cowards who run in fear to being the start of this thing called the church. There was a Roman Empire, y'all, chariots. There was a Jewish nation, and they wanted to kill all of them. And this group of like 500 people, now there's 4 billion of us running around celebrating on this Sunday. Why? Because the power of God, and because the resurrection of God. Hear me say this today. This is what matters. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, it should transform your life. Yes. It shouldn't just change your future.
Come on.
That's what we're going to talk about 1 Peter today. Because here's my assumption in the room. Most of you in the room are here on a Sunday, easy because the mother-in-law made you. And I'm glad you're here, and your mother-in-law's not as bad as you think. Don't look at her right now, because you... We all have mother-in-laws. My mother-in-law's great. Father-in-law, hoo-wee. No, I'm just saying, he's awesome. But this is what I'm going to say. We thought giving our lives to Christ would be better. We thought the moment we surrendered our lives to Jesus, that the rest of our lives, we'd have more peace, more wholeness, more purpose. And lots of you in this room today are really excited heaven's in front of you, but you really haven't experienced more peace, more purpose, more love, more joy since. And for some of you, you've never experienced any of it, and I'm so glad you're here today, because you can hear today from Peter, you can hear today from the Lord of God hasn't created you to walk on this earth with your tail between your legs. He's called you to walk on this earth in humility and confidence. He's called you to walk on this earth with purpose and pleasure. He's called you to walk on this earth with the joy of the Lord. And that's where we find it today. Is I just think, let's hear from Peter. What did Peter say about the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, how that changes your life? Because if it just changes your future, that's still great. That's worth a yes, ah. But if it changes your moment, it's even greater. It says these words, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." I underline living hope in my Bible. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So what Peter says is, because Jesus is risen from the dead. Here's my, like, when I find out Jesus is risen from the dead, this is what I can offer Jesus. It's like, Jesus has cooked you this incredible meal. He laid out this incredible meal. He cooked it. It's all your favorite things. All of it's there. The dishes are there. The drinks are there. The food's there. It's the moment. Are you with me? Like, he cooks this incredible meal. Then after the meal, he cleans it all up. And you're thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? This is what he wants you to do. This is what he wants you to do today. He wants you to say, thank you, and like belch. He just wants you to enjoy the moment. He wants you to just be grateful for what he's done. But we are so selfish, we think it's about us, even when it's about our salvation. So I want you to take a deep breath today and just say thank you. It says, caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, our hope is not just in our future. Our hope is in our lives on this earth. And our hope is in one who lives today, and it's Jesus. See, the living hope in this moment was Terry and Allison on a screen, that in the midst of hardship in marriage, the midst of hardship of past brokenness, the midst of hardship of whatever it is, there's hope in hardship. There's hope that God will, in your marriage right now, you're sitting next to them, or in your singleness, or in the brokenness of your family, or in your anxiety, and your stress, and your depression, and your loss of job, and your not ability to pay the bills, in the midst of whatever chaos that we walk in this room, hear me say, when you and I are willing to say, Jesus, I'm following you, guess what? You find hope in it. Man, 3 weeks ago, I'm getting ready to leave at the NCAA tournament. It's on a Tuesday morning. The flight to South Carolina is happening. The Monday before, if you remember, there was a snowstorm. Thank you, the month of March in Champaign, Illinois. My wife and kids, it's during spring break, are planning to go to Nebraska. And as they're planning to go to Nebraska, they can't go on a Monday, so they're going to go on a Tuesday because they have to visit the mother-in-law. Back to the mother-in-law, by the way. So I'm getting ready to get on a plane to fly to South Carolina. That morning I wake up on my way to the airport as I'm sitting in the house with my wife. The car is like running. And all of a sudden I get this phone call early in the morning. It's from my sister. My sister Janelle hardly ever calls. And when she does call, I answer because it's like something's going on. And I pick up the phone and she tells me that the morning my dad woke up and he was really confused, didn't know where he was at, and he couldn't speak. We think he's had a stroke. And so I instantly call Coach and I say, hey, Coach, this is what's just happened. His comment to me was, Jason, go be with your dad. We'll see you next weekend. This is how cool God is. My ability right now, because of my neck, to drive long distances is zero. My wife and kids planned on leaving the day before. Because of a snowstorm, they were there that day. And so I look at my wife and she looks at me and she said, hey, let's go together. And so me and my wife drive our kids together 5 hours down the road. See, in the midst of pain of a stroke, God is with me if I look for him. I walk in and for the next 4 days, I see this man that I used to like jump in his arms. I see this man that I used to fish with. I see this man that was like this pillar of faith and strength. I see this man that for over 50 years of his life stood on a stage and preached sermon with his double-breasted suit. And he can't talk to me. And it takes nurses to get him where he needs to go. And he gets confused on where he's at. And over the next 4 days of being with him in the hospital and being with my mom and being with my sisters, as we're loving my dad and he's loving us, and his grace and his patience with this process was incredible to watch. But without a living hope, it feels pretty hopeless. Because see, there's going to be a day. Now, my prayer is that my dad can recover from this stroke, that he can recover from this dementia. That's my prayer. But the reality is, I know this to be true. There is going to come a day that my dad will be in heaven and he will speak in clear sentences again and he won't forget where he's at. There'll be a day again that when I talk to my dad, he remembers the fishing trip to Canada. He remembers the moment that he came onto a football field and lifted me up and took me to a hospital to repair. Like, he'll remember the moments. He'll remember all those moments of conviction when he was confronting me, of encouragement when he encouraged me. He'll remember the moments he stand on a stage and preach the gospel, because my dad is the pillar of hope. He loves Jesus with everything he is. And right now, he doesn't remember everything. Right now, he can't remember the songs he used to sing. He can't remember the sermons he used to preach. But there's a hope inside of him and there's a hope inside of me. And right now, in this moment, even though it's hard, there's hope. And that hope is not only in my future, that hope is right now, because Jesus is with us. He's with us in our struggles. He's with us in our trials. He's with us in our sickness, and he's with us in death. Family, hear me say this. He is our living hope. The question is, do you follow him? Because if you're not looking for him and you're not following him and you're not surrendering to him on a daily basis, it's just hard. It's hard for someone to be your coach if you don't listen to him. Here's my question. Here's the tell. Are you with me? Do I live? Do I work? Do I parent? Do I walk in my singleness? Do I do that stuff and hope leads the way? Or do I fear? Am I insecure? Am I impatient? And am I anxious? And do I feel guilt? It's a tell. Does that make sense? Like when I play cards with Zeke, my 8-year-old, when he has a good hand, he just does this. And when he has a bad hand, he's like, Dad, did you cheat? Did you steal the wrong cards? Here's my question for you in this room. Look at your cards. Guys, this ain't rocket science. If you are living in your life and you have hope in the workplace and hope in your family and hope in your singleness, and like if you have joy and hope in those areas of your life, hear me say that, you're living a transformed life in Jesus. But if you have pain and insecurity and fear and in those other areas, hear me say, surrender. God wants to transform it to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to reveal in the last days. The second thing is, we have a living hope. That's one. The second thing we have is we have eternal inheritance. Like, my inheritance in heaven, I remember like a month ago, I was like, ask me if I'm going to heaven. And you're like, Jason, you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Like, I know I'm going to heaven. This hope I have is not wishful thinking. It's not, man, I hope we make this, or man, I hope I make this putt, or man, I hope I... No, it's not wishful thinking. I know he's risen from the dead. I know he reigns in heaven, and I know his spirit lives inside of me, and I know he talks to me. Because if he don't, this brother is crazy. So I'm either a lunatic, or he is the Lord of all creation. My eternal inheritance. It can't be taken from me. And that should give me confidence. I'm getting that ring. I'm getting that crown no matter what. I met her like right after COVID. She started coming to church. Been on a journey of just discovering the depths of who Jesus is. And she's humbling to my family all the time, to me and my wife. Her name is Kelly. And one of the parts of her story is about over 20 years ago, she was 16 years old and she was going to bed that night and her brother was over at the house and he left the house and she went to sleep on the couch at 16. And at 2:30 in the morning, there was a knock at the door and they were there to tell her that her brother had died in a car accident. In that moment, she heard the guttural cries of death from parents. You with me? And from that moment on, there was something that like broke in her. And she'd been on this journey with Jesus to be transformed in it. About a month ago, she heard about someone else who'd lost their life, and that person mentioned the guttural cry. And it made her like flash back to that night, and she realized there was parts of that night that God still wanted to teach her something. So she just started praying about it. And the more she prayed about it, she started to weep, she started to cry, she started to relive the moment. And tears heal us, by the way. And as she was being healed again in this moment, she started to have flashes of different moments of that day, that week. Because the truth is, there's time in her life when she doesn't even remember that well. And for those of you who've experienced major trauma moments, you can't remember things. It's like how you're protected in some ways. But God was revealing her these moments. And then as she's crying, she started to ask the question, God, where were you? Where were you to my 16-year-old self that didn't even really know who you were? I believed in you, but where were you when I was in that kind of pain? And as she's praying through this, as she's crying out to God, where were you? Where were you? She sees Jesus in the back of a room with a group of teenage girls who were their cheer team, who were loving her, who were praying for her, and who talked to her. She sees Jesus walk forward with this one lady that just walks to the front of this funeral home and gives her a hug in the moment when no one else did. She sees Jesus helping her pick out a dress that day, and it was her aunt, and just saying, hey, you look beautiful. She saw Jesus in these moments, but then she kept having this vision of her brother in the casket. We have that thought. You have that vision? And she kept seeing this 19-year-old young man who she adored laying in a casket. Where were you? Where were you? Where were you? Where were you? And then Jesus just said these words, Kelly, I was in the casket, and your brother was with me. Jesus took death. Jesus is the one that's in the casket. And your brother, when he closed his eyes in this world, he opened his eyes with me. Family, that's a living hope. That's an eternal inheritance that you don't have to worry about the markets going down or up. It's there. It's for you. And we can look forward to it. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if it's necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so the tested genuineness of your faith. Not only do we have a living hope, not only is there an eternal inheritance in front of us, but it's this. Don't miss this, that sometimes life is hard. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean it's all sunshine and rainbows and Mary Poppins. That ain't how it works. It's hard sometimes, and that's what it's saying here. We have to rejoice in our sufferings. But why do we have to rejoice in our suffering? Does God need us to suffer to prove it to him? No. God lets us deal with these things on earth. He lets us grieve. He lets us mourn. He lets us do these things so that we know we have faith. This is what I mean by it. I'm walking into this to the football facility about 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. I'm walking in, and as I'm walking into the morning, it's early in the morning, and all the dudes are in the weight room, and normally they all have the same shirt, the same shorts on. They're all grinding in the weight room. I walk in, I'm eating breakfast, and as I'm walking in, I look at them, and this time all of them have their shirts off, all of them have their tights on, and they're all standing in a mirror, and they're just like, they're doing these curls, and I'm thinking like, I'm telling you right now, something's off, because that's not how we usually roll. And then all I'm thinking, why are all these brothers' shirts off? And so they're pointing at me, I'm pointing at them, I'm like lifting up my shirt and posing with my keg, not my six pack. And they're laughing at me and I'm laughing at them, and I'm like, what are these guys doing? Then all of a sudden I see our head strength coach over in the corner with his camera taking pictures of these dudes as they're like, God. Well, why would we do that? Why would we lay someone on a bench and see how many times they can do 225 pounds or throw weight on their back and see how many times they can squat? Why do you do a max effort? Why do you take a picture of someone 8 weeks after lifting or 6 weeks after lifting? Why do you do before and afters? Because you have grinded, you have tested, you have grieved, you have hurt, you've walked through pain, and in the end, you are stronger. Because it's like, okay, it's worth it. It's worth it for me to put in my body what needs to be in my body so my body feels its best. It's worth it for me to wake up at 5 a.m. and do a cold tub, followed by a hot tub, followed by a lift, and work 6 hours a day on perfecting this body for a day that happens in 6 months from now. The reason why we have hardships in this world is so that we can look back and say, look what God has done in me now.
Yes, amen.
Hey, family, I want to just say this real quick. This is not a sermon on nutrition, because I would not be the one to preach it. But I need to tell you something real clearly. God has given you and given me our bodies to teach us about our souls. And if you will refine the things you put in your soul, you'll feel like taking a picture of it. But if you trash the things you put in your mind and your body and your soul, and you don't chase after Jesus and have that living hope, you will run from the camera. More precious than gold that perishes through and tested by fire may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It compares it to gold. It's like you're going to be refined. It's going to be hard. I need you to hear me say this. When you come to know Christ, it's incredible. Our future is fixed. In this moment, you're forgiven. You don't have to walk in guilt. There's so many beautiful things about giving life to Jesus, but it doesn't mean life's still not hard at times. But it's hard in the presence of God and knowing you have joy in the moment of it, which is way better than doing the concept of Christ. Oh, life's so much harder when you're a Christian. That's crap. Life is so much greater when you're a Christian. And this gold being refined, you know how they refine gold? They take a bunch of gold, Gabe, and they take it all together, and they take all these different pieces, and they hand it to a master, and this master puts it in the fire, and he puts it in the fire, and it's in the fire, it gets really, really hot. And as this, it gets really, really hot in the fire, guess what happens to the impurities in the gold? It raises to the top of the gold. And then this is what the master does, is he scrapes off the gold. And then that's what he does again. He heats it up again, and he heats it up again. And you keep putting the gold in the fire and in the fire and in the fire. You put it in the fire, it gets hot. You scrape off the impurities. You put it in the fire, you scrape off the impurities. You put it in the fire, you scrape off the impurities. You start the process, and 6 weeks later, you take a picture. You put it in the fire, and you scrape off the impurities until, you know when the gold is finished? When the master can see his reflection in the gold. Man, I want to be a dad. I want to be your pastor. I want to be your friend. I want to be your coach. I want to be a husband that when you look at me, you see the reflection of the master. But the only way that happens is my willingness to be refined when I'm in the fire versus wine in the fire. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. So I don't need to read this again. This is Peter writing to a bunch of people that never saw Jesus rise from the dead. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. That's us, y'all. He's writing to you and writing to me. Well, I didn't see Jesus go to a cross. I didn't see him rise from the dead. Jesus never cooked me breakfast. But I love him. Though you not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice. And it says these words, with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Literally in this passage, what this means is, it's a joy that you can't describe with words. It's like, Jason, how much do you love him? Gee, woo. A lot. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I was sitting at a table with a group of friends, that's what I'll say. We're talking about Easter weekend, and Easter weekend in Champaign, Illinois, you can't talk about without talking about what? The Final Four. Man, Jace, that's going to be a crazy weekend for you. It's like, yeah. Man, are you excited for the Final Four? Yeah. Are you excited to play? Yeah, it's going to be great. And then someone all of a sudden's like, man, this is also like it's Easter weekend, right? You're going to preach? Oh, yeah, I'm going to drive back and forth. It's going to be great. I'm excited. And like this, and we're talking this. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, this is like your Super Bowl, right? And I was like, yeah. It's like, and everyone's laughing. It's like, Jason's Super Bowl is Easter. And we're laughing and we're talking Final Four. Then again, someone else says like, man, this is like your Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden, I just had the Spirit come over me. And I'm just like this. I was like, yeah. It's not just mine. And then just whoop. This ain't my Super Bowl. This is our Super Bowl. This is the only moment in history that truly matters. It is the only moment where the one thing you can't conquer in sin and the one thing you can't cure in death is conquered. And he did it for us. And I think to me, it's like, so what do we do with that? This is what we do. We are proud of the joy we have in the Lord. I'm going to puff up my chest. Why? Because Jesus did it for all of us. And I'm not going to be ashamed to say this weekend matters the most. Why? Because death has been conquered, because sin has been beaten. Why? Because I have a living hope. And I think that's the challenge for all of us today. We started the sermon this way, I'm ending it. We're excited that death's been conquered because we go to a funeral, we can deal with it, right? But in our struggles, we just want to fast forward, just like Allison said. But the reason God has given us our bodies to teach us about our souls is this. There's a sweeter wine out there for all of us. There's a greater life out there for all of us. And it comes with a word called surrender. If you and I will follow Jesus and walk in the joy of the Lord, then we can find joy in the midst of hardships and purpose when we have none.
Oh, listening friend, when you've surrendered to the Lord, your eternal inheritance is secure and cannot be taken from you. You've been hearing an Easter message preached yesterday by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, and the theme throughout is the living hope we can have as we place our trust in Jesus. What is our response for him going to the cross on our behalf, paying the penalty for our sin, and rising from the dead? It's to be grateful, to give thanks. Hopefully this message and the truth of Jesus' resurrection will give you hope today and into the future. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. By the way, if you can tune in for Testimony Tuesday, you're going to hear our historic first ever broadcast from Easter Sunday, April 7th, 1996, when we launched our first station, WGNN, to the glory of God. You'll hear 30 minutes of our first ever hour-long broadcast, so tune in again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.